Okay.
Okay, so we're holding here the Pirush Beis on Pasuk Beis, where he said, before he said that he went out and was a seva and so on, which welcome to Chayvos, and now he says, he's going to give a different shot, similar elements, but in a little bit of a different seda. So there are four places. Chutz, Rechoyves, Pesachorim, Be'ir. Arba, L'shaynes, Tarayna, Titekoyla, Tikra, Amara, Ta'ama. V'ho'inyan. She'yesh le'ir, Darif, Esratio, Shem, Chutz, La'ir. V'akach, Pesachorim, V'yir, Shem, Bifnim. So Adkan, it's the same thing, basically. The chaluka of the Chitzayin, Zibim. But what he will say a difference is in terms of who is where. Kein yesh le'tayra, Pardes. Shtaimi bechutz hem pshat remes, o shtaim bifnim drush v'soid. So the difference between beforehand, he was going on, he was going on the content of what you're learning. So the pshat and the drush both deal with the chitzonius shaboy. They both deal with the Olam HaMitzvahs and Maisim, which is the Chitzonius, and Remez and Soid deal with the Chelek of Torah that we'll call Pnimius of Torah. Now he's talking about not the subject matter, but he's talking about how it expresses itself in relation to what's there. So the pshat and the remez are both what's in front of your eyes. In other words, the pshat is the words. The remez is some knach in the word, a letter off, a gematria, this and that. The drush and the soid are both the panemius of something that's there. So the drush is the panemius of pshat, and soid is the pnimius of the remes. So it's the same idea, but it's structured differently, not by content, but by presentation. The pshat and the remes are the visible parts, the tangible parts of it, and the drush and the soid are the pnimius parts of it. So it says, So in the Olam HaDibur, you also have two dagas. Now, I imagine that he also means if it's possible to hear some aspect standing far away and some other aspect standing much closer, so it must be that second aspect is something that's gonos and it's within the first aspect. V'zeshama chokhmas b'chutz teroina hupshat in shemer akol havor v'rina b'rochayvois hu remes shemarchiv in ateva ki v'chol ois v'teva yesh limud k'mo taras kanem sefri mechilta v'zeo titein koila. So remes tells me that the teva itself is not only the teva itself is not only just a whole word as it says. It's telling me that the teva is something which has details also that tell me something. So the remez is a harchav of the teva, in the sense that it's not only, if I say bias, it's not only the bias, I mean a house, but the base sheboy means something, the yud sheboy means something, and so on. And then it says, v'achar kach drush miskaps in harbe atir pumbi. That's also the Gemara, that divrei agadah is atir pumbi. A lot of people come and gather. V'zeh v'roi shumiyas tikra. Achar kach soid v'ir amareh ta'omeh v'hu maimer. So these are all in yanim that reflect this type of dibur and so on. Now, each of these places is miyuchid for a certain type of dibur. In other words, Dvar Hashem has a certain framework where it should be taught and how it should be taught. Now, v'zeh sham rabbeinu zal b'makom rina sham tei tefila. It says b'makom rina sham tei tefila. So, of all the four inyanim, it's the rina dafka that is the makom tefila. So the Gaon explains, ki bati medrashes hoyle gedolim, loim dekol pardes. Bati medrashes were the people who learned kol haTorah kula. No, it's like we have a beis medrash, a place where you sit and learn. In the Batak Nesias, that's where they had the Tnogesh Beis Rabban. Ve'en Shema Larina. So, Lemay said they would have the kids who learned, you know, in the Cheda, Chometz Alafar, Chometz Beis Bot type of kids, and Chumash, they would learn that in the Beis HaKnesses. Ve'sham Hevel P'em Shemer Chet. Sham Teit Shela. So, it's very interesting. I mean, the Goyen is sort of asking a question here and giving a hezba. I would think that if you ask yourself where is the best tefillah, most effective tefillah, you would say you go to the Shtadis Beis Medrash, the one that has the biggest eon and soid and whatever it is, and that's where you should daven. So B'mokum Rina Shamtei Tefillah tells you two things. First of all, that the Zchus HaTorah is the appropriate platform upon which to daven. So that's good. It also tells me that it's, of all the types of Torah, Rina is the ideal one. Because Rina is a certain emunah pshut of sorts. It means my tefis in Rebbeinu Shalom is very, very poshut. And adarabah, that's a certain mailan tefillah. The Gemara speaks about in tefillah, a person speak kof of pashut. In as much as a person holds himself to understand that to be a chacham, there's a certain chisaron klapit tefillah. Tefillah requires totally batlus. And b'mele the makom of the bati medrashim, the place where there's mostly batlus, is that makom rina. First of all, it's the simplest learning. It's a place of P. And secondly, it's the place where they have a Hevel P.M. Shaltinoika Shem Bechet. So you have the Maila of its Tara, of its Kedush, of its Tara.
So Rabbi, what does that mean, that the highest levels of learning have an inherent chesaron in them?
If a person can learn on a Darga, and he doesn't learn, so avaris also litnas adin, he has a chiyuv talmud Torah. But there's a certain mailan tefillah where a person, like it says, a person's lave is nishbar in mima makim krasicha, lave nishbar v'nitke. Wherever you have the strongest darga of anava, that's where you have this darga of. It's more appropriate for tefillah. Tefillah is tefillah le'oni ki'atoi for nashim shasichoi. So in terms of oni, this is the highest. This is the darga of oni. It doesn't pater you from learning shtarka if you can. But I find an understanding that there's something about tefillah that requires a nius to that if you take a. If you take ask mitoich your sense of afsius, that's where it's neskabel. I heard a story when I was in Prague actually this year, there was a Yid there who was in the group that he was a Chassidish Yid, and he was on his way to Belarus, and he was from the people who over the years since the 90s had been working with the Stolner community. You know, he was a shliach of Stolner Rebbe to be Makar of people and so on. So he said he remembers the first Rosh Hashanah. They had a few hundred people. It was in Kiev, I think. Not in Kiev, sorry, in Minsk. They had a few hundred people for Rosh Hashanah davening. And in the break, the Rav spoke a few words, and he told over the story, the famous story that there was, I don't know if it was the Balditch, was somebody was standing by Tekiah Shaifa, and he wouldn't tell the Balticheah to blow. And then after like 10 minutes, he told the Balticheah to blow. So they asked him afterwards what happened. He said that a kid had walked into the shul, and the kid said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know nothing but Aleph Beis, so at least I'll say the Aleph Beis. And he said the Aleph Beis, and he said all the malachim ran to that Aleph Beis, and b'meila there would be nobody to cover the tkiyas. And when they finished, I told him to do the tkiyas. So one of the people called out and he said, Rebbe, aber das Aleph Beis kennen wir auch nicht. We don't know Aleph Beis either. So he said, really? And they said, yes, we don't. So he said, so everybody together, Aleph Beis. And he told me he'd never seen a more moving scene of people, you know, like that, you know, saying it.
Wow.
For years, they made it the minig to do it, you know, until it sort of petered out. But he said for years, that was the minig in the Stadt. I'll go upon him. So mitoich shiver leiv, mitoich pach, but the klal is another Siddish Maisa that they once asked, I don't know, again, I don't know, whoever they take the Maisa on, the Maisa is a good Maisa, whoever they take it on to, they want to see a real anav. So they said, such and such a person who hangs out in such and such a place usually. Because they went there, there was nothing about him that indicated anything special about him. They asked about him, is he a Talmid Chacham? No. Is he a wealthy person? No. Is he big Bal Yuchsin? No. Is he this, that? So they came back and they said, what's the kunz? He's got nothing going for him. So of course, Yonif. So they said, no. Somebody who has no learning, no money, and he's still in Yonif, that's a big kunz. In other words, people tend to cover up their not having by projecting themselves in one way or another. And it's in tefillah, hachna and shiflis is so the makom of rina, the makom of the pashtid, and that's where tefillah is most iskabel. B'zeh shomer kumana. I mean, the goyin is knocking himself also on this one. So
right.
I mean, he basically is saying that if he wants a daven, he should go to where the tilim yidna, not his base medrash.
But are they mutually exclusive, or you could have, no. I think it's just the consensus that usually the people who are tefillah are the people who are, you know, less arrogant because they don't have learning. But you could have a Chafetz Chaim who's...
It's the makom where you reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu with pashtus. Even a Yid who's a big mefulpel also has to learn pshat. In learning also, there's a certain... in everybody, it doesn't. You don't lose pshat. They're not making it say pshutay. So there's a certain element in the place where a person, where a person's dargin learning is misachs the pshat. That's a mokum tefillah. That's basically. B'zeh shama kumana levakish ashchina b'mokum shubachutz v'hinei lo matzasi v'aseva be'ir b'shvakachoyves shem shlosh mekoyves al ir shvakachoyves v'lo matzasi. In the 80 days that Moshe was mispal. Now, it's not so clear what the date is. If you want to take a look down on the bottom, the Haggadah 76. Was the first set of 40 days that certainly were not tefillas. The second 40 days, where there was just being davening for mitzvah, and then the next 40 days, So the Arboim Yoim, in the middle, there was I guess it was Spal Namachna. He's saying that the last, it's the Tfilis in the last Arboim Yoim when he went back up. So what was the Tfilis in the middle Arboim Yoim? And he says, "Shall you call it Tfilis Shasei Mem Yom Achronim?" And Gam Neshit is Rashi Rosh that we brought the ale like the Seder Olam. Shat Tfilis Shas Moisim Mem Yom Tsoyim. So after him Yom Kosh Baruch Hu Sratz, and he went up. So where do you have Shmonim Yom? You have Arboim Yom Tfilis. The Machlokes, the Yesoros, the Machlokes seems to be which Arboim Yom. This is what he's talks about, and it's very very not clear. So it could be, and he suggests all the way at the end, it's possible there was our Arboim Yoim Tefillas for Kapara on the Chet Egel, our Arboim Yoim Deshkosh, which should give new luchos, different possibilities. Okumana, Inyan Kamesha, Amu Vayikar So Oil. So it means that Moshe took and he went out. The pasuk says Moshe kas oil v'notem chutz amachne harchmer machne v'kor lo oil moed v'hoyer kol mevakesh Hashem yitzal moed asher chutz amachne. In other words, it required moving around, looking for him outside. V'chipasim chalev loy metzasif, and even though I looked for him, I didn't find him. So there was a limited amount of shechina, and Moshe Rabbeinu did have shechina, but Klal Yisrael was searching and didn't find it. Then it says, next pasuk, Gimel, Mitzauni Hashem Rasevim Va'ir, Eishav V'Nafshiri Isem. So the Goyen says, Mitzauni Hashem Rasevim Va'ir, Kohanim Hashem Yisrael Hashem. So the Kohanim stayed, they're both Shem Yisrael Hashem, and they also, Hashem Yisrael Levim, Shav Mishar Shav, V'Hogu Ishas Ochiv. So he says, there's Shemrim who stay in their place, and there's Shemrim who go around and to find who's ready to attack. So you always have a matzav of somebody holding the fort down and somebody proactively going and looking for the enemies. V'shaltiv mehem eishavu nafshi re'isem. Pirush. Atem sholichatosem klal. Hare'isem atem eishavu nafshi. V'okoy al ruach ha'kodesh. Imesh from ruach ha'kodesh. So two things. First of all, so once they went to be, they looked for Ashros Hashchina to come back, they went to the Nekud in Klal Yisrael that wasn't tainted by Chet, and asked them, did you see Yisrashav HaNafshi? The one, then he says, Yisrashav HaNafshi v'kol Ruach HaKodesh. Im yesh Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach HaKodesh is the lowest darga of Ashros Hashchina. So it goes like this. There is, there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what's the right word for it? He's misparates, misrachiv, when the dargis from Shemayim are, abroad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a expansive mode. And then both the darga of Hashra Sashchina and the people that are endowed with it increase dramatically. So all of Klal Yisrael could have come to a madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu when they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So that's an extreme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in an expansive mode, in a mode of our chava. You then have the opposite. Whenever the Shekhinah needs to be mistalik, so there is no more something where it's gone. The word is gone doesn't exist. What you have is that it becomes compressed. It becomes nignaz. So it still exists, but in a very compressed form. So in two ways does the compression express itself. First of all, it stays only by Yechidei Skula, which is Shevet Levi, since they're the Shomrim and you know, Me'olam, the Pasuk Torah from Shevet Levi, and Shevet Levi is the one that keeps it always. So whatever there's left of Shaschin, Shevet Levi, and then you have Ruach HaKodesh, which is a low darga of Gilui, which at least people have Ruach HaKodesh. So he says, the second pshat, Nesune HaShemrim, Koyal Shevet Levi, Meshamu Mil Hashem Elai, V'yasol Kol Ne Levi, V'heim HaShem HaShem Nala Mishma. So both of them, either Shemrim is HaSayim B'yek, Meshama HaKosev, Iv V'shuv V'shal HaShar. So he's not mafchin so much between the Levi Mekahanim in the second one. It could be the following is true. It certainly is true that Shevet, that the Kohanim are much more are on a higher madrega than Levim. Now, obviously, they do avoid and so on. But in terms of this Nekuda, that Shevet Levi, that Torah never left Shevet Levi, and Shevet Levi preserved it, and Yom Mishpatech Liakiv, and all of the inyanim that Shevet Levi is spoken to as being the guardians of Israel, that has to do with Shevet Levi. So even the Kohanim Sheboi, the Kohanim are also Mitar Shevet Levi. There is no difference between Kohanim and Levim. That is one possibility. This is probably the second pshat. The first pshat, and Lachur, that is correct. Because anything that it says about David, anything that it says about Shevet Levi's Maila of being Davuk Takarish Baruch Hu, that of you know being steadfast, that's something which is true of all of Shevet Levi. It's not miyuchad to Kohanim. It could be that the first pshat learns, and this is something that may make sense, is the kahuna doing the avoida. So according to the other pshat, the kahanim doing the avoida is just a very separate inyan than the Levium doing the shmir around the bias. According to this pshat, the pshat is like this: the shmira, when you want to do shmira, you always need somebody in the camp and somebody to go out and make sure none of the enemies are ambushing or ready to attack. So the Kohanim sitting on the Beis HaMikdash and doing what's right, the Kfeida, are a form of Shemira that you don't have, but you know, without it. It's not the Pshat is, the Shemira is the standing with the, you know, it says like Levi went around and they made sure that everybody, you know, that nobody went in as was supposed to. They're a shomrei habayis. Doing the avodah and the bias is a shmira on the atzmis habayis. Because let's understand this. There's nothing in the bias that you're watching from robbers. You know, if somebody comes and steals the kruvim, that's not what we're talking about. Because Rabbah doesn't need a shema for that. What we need the shmirah for is that the person be a that the avoida remains true. So if nobody's with the avoida and somebody's just going to walk around and keep it, nobody should go in tamei. But if it's not avoida, then you don't have it. The shmirah is to retain the avoida kitzurase. So the people that are constantly doing the avoida, that's the etzen retention. You also need to make sure that no one from the outside gets in. But the etzem shmira is on the thing itself. It's like a marshal, if somebody has an empty base medrash that they guard, you can't say that person is preserving the Torah. I once spoke at when they dedicated a kollel bus in yeshiva. So, it's people in town were kind of, the whole musik of people saying learning was a new thing and so on. And I said that preserving Torah doesn't mean pickling it. It doesn't mean taking the sfarim and making sure you have every sefer, and so on and so forth, and sitting in its place, and that's it. It means living it. It means learning it. So the people who are doing it, mitzad, that word of shmira, they're actually doing the etzmetzias. So I think the two pirushim vary on what the role of kahun is. I think there's a deep knach in the first one, that the kohanim are shem yishmeres Hashem. It's not just the pshat, they have to do avoda, and the levim are guarding. The guarding is to keep the nekud of avoda in Klal Yisrael, and they're the ones actually doing it. So the shem yishmeres is literally also, they are the ones that are keeping avoda in Klal Yisrael. So there's another difference over here. V'sha'alti yisem eshavu nafshi re'isem. Kiyomarti ulay nimtza etzlam she'en lechote be'egel. I thought that maybe they have Ruach HaKodesh because they weren't chote be'egel. So he's adding over here that, which he didn't say before, that the reason to think that they would still have Ruach HaKodesh is because they weren't chote be'egel. I think the pshat is in for us. If we say that somebody has Ruach HaKodesh, my question is, how do you get it? So there's the sulam, there's that. Those are legitimate questions. How is he seicher to it? What avodah did he do, and so on? In that makom. Be'etzem, the Beis Hamikdash is Mokma Ashur Sashchina. Be'etzem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Klal Yisrael, I should say, this was after Matan Torah. Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah were automatic bearers of Ruach HaKodesh, because that was a Metzias. Everyone else lost it because of Chet HaEgel. But it's not like today. Today, once the whole show was over, so the only people that have Ruach HaKodesh are the people that go through the hard climb up the ladder of Gramchal, and they get to it. Over there, everyone had it, except that everybody lost it because of the Chet HaEgel, and therefore it made a lot of sense. He came to them and he said, Rabbi Isai, you weren't involved in Chet HaEgel, maybe you still have it. Kimat shavatimem pirush loy hoyezman rubelzman muad asher matzosah shav nafshi pirush chazur hakodesh v'achim kippur. So however you learn the 80 days, the 40 days, it was not a long time. It's interesting that this is kimat. It's hefach a little bit the flow of the pasuk. Kimat shavatimem sounds like I almost gave up. I had come to these people. I'd ask him, Rabbi Isai, do you still have Ruach HaKodesh? Machavatim means I almost gave up. I almost left them. He says, no, it wasn't much time. Pirush Azman Ruach Zamur. At Shematzos Yeshav V'Nafshi, Pirush Shechazer Ruach HaKodesh V'Acha Yom Kippurim. And after Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu bought the second Luchos, that was a return of Ruach HaKodesh to me. It's interesting. He says it was after Yom Kippur, which is it fits the dates. But there's another nekud here also. One of the things David HaMelech was powerful for was Hashiv li sasayin yeshecha, Ruach Nadiva tismecheini, that he was asking for the Ruach HaKodesh to come back to him. One of the things. One of the most pronounced effects of chait is that a person loses Ruach HaKodesh because it's not even an oinish. It's just the minute you're unsuitable for being inhabited, you're not inhabited. If Ruach HaKodesh stays in a place that it can stay in. If the Mokum became a Mokum, that's not Tzayech to be Machus Eirach Ruach HaKodesh, there is a Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, it's an almost automatic Pe'ula. And then he says, and that's why I wanted it now, after you finish getting a Kaparnia Chet, you now need to mispalel to get back Ruach HaKodesh. So somewhere along the line, a person in a Sheirish, Ashrashim, other Marishan, whether it was a Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah, they were automatically Mekomos Ashras Ashchina. Chet automatically made them unsuitable for that. But once the Chet went away, there's no automatic return. It requires some sort of tefillah, bakash, or whatever it is, to bring it back.
So the way that we explained on the last parak on Pasuk Tazayin in the Pirish Beis, that the Schar Va'oinesh that we were referring to by Haraya Basheshanim was that the example that we gave was if you're by a king, it requires a certain level of formality, formal attire. If you're begadim are dirty, so then Mamela, isn't that perception or that outlook the way you could look at all of Olam Hazeh and all of Schar Va'Einosh? Meaning, why is it two things? There's, if I do an Einosh, so then I'm removed. The ultimate goal is to be Davik to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Einshin, there's no punishment and then coming back. There's either I'm close or I'm far. And it's not a choice to punish. It's a metzias.
Right. There's a difference in the time frame. Let's give a mashal. If you pull out a sack, a plug from the wall, the machine stops working. If you stop eating, you don't stop working immediately. It takes a while till the effect kicks in. There are certain things that can happen immediately. There are certain things that one would say, you know, it'll take a while for this to happen. So here what he's saying is it instantly departs. And right now, it's Einishim that we talk about, Golos and Gehenim and the lack of Siyatash, all these things, but that takes time. It's a process. Something has to happen. But when I'm not Ro'oi Bashar Sashchimer, so if I cut something in the machine which doesn't allow the current to flow, it stops. So a machine that I don't tend to will run down and fall apart. A machine that unplugs stops. Because one of them is the pshat, I need the hechetimtzef, you know, this is, it's mitzias. The other one is, it's a contributing factor. So in the world of Ayin Shem Ason, it's also natural. Just like if I let my machine, you know, I don't tend to my machine, it will run out. That's true. But this is something much stronger than that. This is a phenomena of it's going to, it immediately becomes unsuitable for Shechina. It's, you know, there are things in a house that will make you eventually move out. There are things that you move, you know, if there's a big hole in the roof and it's raining, you move, you go. So here also, the chasing away Ruach HaKodesh, you lose instantly. It's not a mokum, it's a mokum atunah. It's not a mokum roi fashas hashchina. As opposed to the oinshin that we speak about, it's automatic, but it's not immediate.
So would Rebbe say that it's accurate to, based on how Rebbe said, let's say for Rosh Hashanah, that we have the tkiyah, which essentially is mayrech, the spectrum on how we view things. So right. Instead of giving an immediate einish, the Ribbono Shel Olam is mayrech the spectrum. So there's a base spectrum that regular people live on, and that taka has schar va'einish because it's not an immediate thing. It's expanded, and there's a whole lifetime that we can do tshuva. And then there's a super duper elite where things will happen instantaneously.
Right. And legab is certain in yanim. In order for Shekhinah to, let's understand, we exist, and we can strengthen our existence, or chas v'shalom weaken it. Shekhinah being Sheira is an unnatural connection. And the only reason Shekhinah can be Sheira is because we have certain conditions available for it. Take those conditions away, and immediately there's no Shekhinah there. So there's a big difference in Ashras HaShekhinah as a big mila. I'm sorry, to Einshim, which is a much more gradual process. I guess if I were to say it, I'll use a marshal. That's named the marshal. There was a menahel of TA. He was the menahel for 49 years, Rabbi Samson's Bein Bracha. He lived in Azabir for many years afterwards. So he used to be very canonistic about not canceling school. Once there was a big snowstorm, Beisakov closed down. TA went on. So he asked him, how you talking? The Beisakov's closed. You're open. So he said, they need a heta to stay open. I need a heta to close. The girls' schools, the reason why they can exist is because there's a heta for it. So he says, so they need a heta, and I need an issa. So Ruach HaKodesh means that this world, it's an unnatural coupling. It means that this world, this physical, chomeristic world, has become so refined that I can now be masha on it, something that's otherworldly, and it's a comfortable perch. And in other words, it's shayach. That's a dava mufla. And if it's not shayach, then it's not shayach. It's not something that you can say that it's automatic and should be like that automatically.
Right.
Okay. So it says, so he said, I grabbed the luchos, not like the first luchos I couldn't grab. So this is referring to the famous Yerushalmi that, as soon as they did the Avera, the luchos were very, very, very heavy. The oisius made them light, and as soon as they did the Avera, the oisius evaporated, and left very, very heavy stone. So they no longer could hold on to it. In other words, it's a very clear reflection of the chait. I'm no longer capable of holding this. If I can't hold on to something, means I'm not a mishkan for that thing. If the floor here is too weak and something falls through it, then this floor cannot hold whatever weight it is. So he says, "V'loya penem in atera, k'moy shekosev isra pesa b'yom tsar tzakrecha, v'misa pesa matera v'chulu." But is it loya penem oid? So when we talk about grabbing, holding, we're not talking about the Ribbono Shel'olam. That's obviously leil olam. We're talking about the Torah. So Chedei Rossi means that it's a place where it's a cheder where there's a shoras hashchina. It's called Chedei Hayrosi, which means it's a place where it's a makom hoylada. Whenever you speak about an ish v'isha, you speak about a makom zivuk. Whenever you speak about hoyrim, you speak about children. And therefore, the Kodesh Kedoshim was a place, the pasuk calls it cheder ha-mitois, meaning from here, Hashpo was bred and brought out into the world. The dibur that we talk about over here is that the Shekhinah is is being moiled. So he the first part of it is a chasil or pena means I grabbed it and then let go of it. So I was able to hold on to it. And not only was I able to hold on to it, I was able to be kaveya it in its mokar. It's a much stronger, obviously it's a much stronger kiyum than if I'm just holding on to it. Because every person as a yachid can only hold on, you know, there's always a danger a person will drop it. If I have a house where to put it, besides the fact that people are frail, it also means a much greater sense of kvias than my holding it. If I happen to hold something here, even if I always am holding it, it's hard to use the word kavu on that. It's I happen to be holding it. Here, when I have a house for it, and I have a bias for it, means that it has a place over here. It has a mukim kavua, and that's why. And so, what they were able to do was not only bring it back, but they were able to put it back again as a kvias. And that's why the Mishkan was such a simcha, because it's taking Ashuras Hashchina out of the realm of very temporary. if you're depending on Ashuras Hashchina for a person worthy of Ruach HaKodesh, it takes one slip up and it's over. If Shechina has Kaviyachol bias, means it has a Metzias here. It has sort of a Mokum, and therefore it doesn't. It will stay even if the conditions may not be ideal for it. Okay, hold it here.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Take care, man.
Really appreciate it. Have a good night and a good week.
You too. Bye.